This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. And we are thankful that you have chosen to spend the next half hour with us as we are talking about God's Word. Right now, going through the series of the Holy Spirit guiding us into all truth. That's what we have been talking about. How does God lead us? And he leads us in truth. And so we're going to be talking about that today. Going to be finishing up in 2 Timothy chapter 2. At least that's the plan here at the starting line. But before we get to that, we do want to let you know about the event that is coming up this Saturday, 11 a.m. The Let It Go tour is going to be at Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. Deanna Schrodes and her women's ministry team is going to be at Merritt Assembly of God. There's going to be a time of worship. There's going to be a time of food fellowship. There's going to be some products available. There's going to be ministry of the word. There's going to be more than likely a time to respond to the word. I'm not in charge of the event, but I would love for as many ladies as possible to come and benefit from the ministry that is going to be taking place there. And it's a absolutely free event. There's no registration or anything. You just show up and let God bless you and challenge you and inspire you to become the woman of greatness that you were intended to be. So that'll be this Saturday. So put that on your calendar. And if you do not have a church home, we'd love to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. We meet Sunday morning this week at 10:30. This is Memorial Day weekend. We will not be having Sunday night service this coming Sunday night. We do have service tomorrow night, Wednesday night. We have our youth meeting that takes place in one building. We have our adult Bible study that takes place in another building. So if you would like to come and avail yourself of that, we're pretty time conscientious on Wednesday nights. We start at 7 o'clock. We're normally done by 8. I know that school is pretty much in the rearview mirror, getting ready to be in the rearview mirror. But we still like to make sure that people are out relatively on time. And besides that, I have a Thursday morning prayer meeting that starts at 6 o'clock in the morning. And so I start preparing for that as soon as the last person is out the door. It's like, how fast can I run home, take care of everything that needs to be taken care of, and get into bed and get to as close to 8 hours worth of sleep as I can before everything that comes up on that day. So that is the events that are going on this week. We'd love to see you at some of those. By the way, if you happen to miss this broadcast, you can catch it again 10:30 of the morning on WWBC 1510 AM. You can also catch it 5 o'clock of an evening right back here on WMIE 91.5 FM. There are some alternating frequencies out there as well. The AM station has actually got an FM frequency as well. I don't have that written down, but you can scan through the dial. At least in our neck of the woods up here, you can get it on FM. And I know that depending upon what part of the county you're in, the signal may come in a little bit better in some places than it does in others. And so they have these other frequencies available so that you can get the word as strong a signal as you can get it. So let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 today. And we are looking at Paul giving instructions to Timothy, and verse number 24, and it says, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." So this assumes that there's a point of conflict that is taking place. And the assumption that Paul talks about here is that there is a pastor who is living the way that he is supposed to, who is preaching the way he's supposed to, who is trying to reach his community the way that he's supposed to, and that there are those who are standing in opposition to him. Okay? And I pray that all those things are true. You know, if there's a person that comes up like Nathan came to David, it was that on that occasion, it was because David was in the wrong and Nathan stood in opposition to him, not because he was, he hated David, but because he loved David and he wanted to see David come back to a right relationship with God through repentance. And so we have to look here and we see in the latter part of verse number 25, that the motive for any conflict that might be going on with a personal dynamic as far as our spiritual relationship, the goal is that the person who is out of alignment with God would come to that place of repentance. At our men's conference that we attended here a couple of weeks ago, speaker used this as the R word. He referred to it as the R word. It's the word that not many people want to talk about anymore, and that is the word repent, because repent means that there is something in our life that is not right, and it requires an about face. It requires a 180-degree turn. It requires an abandonment of the pursuit of whatever we were chasing after, and begin to put that same effort into our relationship with God. I describe repentance as the first blessing from God. I believe that being given a repentant spirit is better than a new house, a new car, a new wardrobe, a new bank account. I believe that a spiritual life that is restored to and reconciled to God is of tremendous value. And I don't look as repentance as a bad thing at all. I don't look at it as something to be avoided at all cost. I believe that it is something that should be pursued. Now this says that it is a gift from God, if perhaps God will grant them repentance. Now, to repent means that we're going to respond to the gift that God has given to us, where the Holy Spirit is dealing with an issue in our life, and we're going to take action that God wants us to take, and that is to repent, to abandon our sin and begin to pursue the heart of God. I believe I mentioned this in other broadcasts a long time ago, but there was a time where God dealt with me, and it was about something. I think I was all by myself. I mean, it wasn't a physical sin. It wasn't anything like that. It was more of a complaining attitude, and God challenged me on that. And my initial response was, really? There are people doing this, and there are people doing that, and people doing this other thing, all of which are way worse than the thing that you are talking about. But you want me to repent of that attitude. And I don't remember exactly what the attitude was. I moved on. And God said, "Is that really the standard you want me to apply to your life? You want me to ignore the little things until little things accumulate into big things? You want me to let sin slide and reside in your heart until it's to a point that it is too late for you to do anything about it? Is that really what you, how you want me to operate in your life? And I said, no, no, God, that's not how I want you. I want you to deal with things when they are small so that I don't have to wait until they are big. Because the bigger they are, the more devastating the impacts are. I tell people all the time, you know, I don't really look forward to dealing with an alligator. Wouldn't really like to do that. But if I had to do it, I'd want it to be about the size that my great-grandmother brought me back from Florida when she visited Florida back before this was illegal. They used to have these stuffed little alligators. They were about 12 inches long. And it's like, if I'm going to deal with an alligator, that's the size that I want to deal with it. I don't want it to be one of these 11 or 12 foot monsters. 'Cause they can do serious damage. You know, I want to deal with my sins while they are small. I hope that makes sense. So as if we are dealing with people in repentance or dealing with people in correction because they are in opposition to us, we need to do it with humility. We need to remember that the goal is to bring whichever party needs to repent to that position of repentance, and that is what enables people to know the truth. Check your sources. Check your sources. I don't do a lot of Facebook memes. I don't understand the purpose of the click and the share and all of that sort of stuff. Don't understand, you know, what the motive is behind that. But I tell you what causes me to not participate in those things. And by the way, if you tell me, you know, if you're a Christian, you'll send this to your 10 closest friends. That sort of manipulation doesn't work with me. I'm not into chain Facebook messages or chain text messages or any of that sort of stuff. So listen, nowhere in my Bible does it say that my salvation is contingent upon forwarding a clickbait message. It's just not there. The person who wrote that is not the person who wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thus, they do not have the same authority that he does, and his name is Jesus. So one of the things that causes me to distrust them is if I look at them and I see that grammar is out of place, if I see words are misspelled, I immediately discount that as a source. There is a 2 years ago, because the term had just been coined. It was fresh. I mean, we've heard it for 2.5 years now, but, for my Easter Sunday message, it was called fake news versus real news. And you need to, and the point of that was there was all sorts of rumors going around and fake news that was being generated, and all of it trying to undermine the fact that Jesus truly was risen from the dead. And, you know, you need to check your sources. You need to check their bias to make sure that the communications that they are giving to you are true and sound. I'm going to tell you right now that whenever I read something, I read it with a bias. I read it from an eternal perspective, not a temporal perspective. I read it from a spiritual perspective, not an economic perspective. And so if I read something and it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then I go and discount that. There are some things that I've read, and the first thing that I do is I say, you know what? That doesn't sound like anything that I've ever heard before. I need to go and find out if that is true. And so I described that to a friend one time, and he said, I've got a question for you. Who is fact-checking the fact-checkers? And it's like, you know what? That's true. So you and I, we embrace the truth of God's word. We embrace Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. We embrace all of that. And Paul admonishes Timothy that the goal is to bring people from a position of opposition to the truth and the authorities that God has put in place to where they know the truth, embrace the truth, and live the truth. And it says what happens when that takes place is that they may come to their senses. That they may come to their senses. A lot of times people are doing things that they are not aware of. My wife, one of her favorite questions is this. What was that look for? What was that look for? And it's like, I don't know what look. And I will tell you this. I don't have as much facial control over my facial muscles as other people do. My kids can rapid fire wink, right eye, left eye, right eye, left eye, right eye, left eye. They can do that. And mine has to be very intentional, and it's kind of a fake thing. It's not really moving the eyelid down as much as it is moving the cheekbone or the cheek up a little bit. So I don't have that facial dexterity, if that's a term, that other people do. And so it's just kind of a big joke around my house. My grandkids can wink, but I can't wink. It's just a thing. Not that it bothers me, but whenever somebody says, what does that look for? It's like, there's nothing going on in my heart right now. So it really, I don't know what that look was for. I don't know. And I say, well, so we move beyond the appearances and we come to our senses and say, so we get down to finding out and understanding what is really going on. You see, if you know the truth and then you find that you were actually in opposition to truth, listen, Paul knew what that was like. Paul had found himself in opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he persecuted the church, and he said, I am the chiefest of sinners. I shouldn't have been doing that. And so whenever you're dealing with a person, don't look at them as a lost cause. Look at them as a person who may need the scales to fall off of their eyes the way that Paul did when his name was Saul. They may need their brain to be rewired. They may need to have their spiritual ears opened. They may need to wake up. I don't know how you wake up of a morning, whether you are one of those people that just wakes up and says it is a glorious day that has been given to us. When our kids were growing up, we had three different temperaments that were going on. When my kids were little, my wife worked the graveyard shift, and so while she was gone, I would be up and I would be doing the dishes and doing laundry and all of that sort of stuff, and my youngest child would not fall asleep until about 6 a.m. or not 6 a.m., about midnight. My middle child would wake up at 6 o'clock of a morning, and she would be looking for mom to come home. She would be looking out the window, and I mean, when she woke up, just great big smile on her face, just couldn't wait to experience what great thing that the day had in store for her. And so my sleep was like from midnight to 6 a.m. That was as much as I could get in. When I was growing up, especially in high school, my parents had a paper route, and the paper route covered 52 miles. We'd start throwing papers 363 days a year, I believe it was. I think there were 2 days a year that we did not throw papers. And it would start at 2:30 of a morning is what time you would have to get up. And so we were used to operating at with some sleep deprivation. So when I wake up of a morning, I'm not that bubbly, vivacious one that says, man, I just can't wait. In fact, if there's something that's coming that day that's exciting, my solution is, why do we want to go to sleep? Let's just go ahead and stay awake, and we'll be ready for it when it happens. I don't want to miss the deadline. I don't want to be late to anything. I was late to a lot of things growing up. I am like that procrastinator's worst nightmare. I'm going to be there early. You know, if I'm not 15 minutes early, I'm late. So people need to come to their senses sometimes. And so if God is just awakening them out of sleep, give them some opportunity, give them some grace so that they can grow. If they're a brand new believer, they may bring a democratic mindset into God's kingdom and may not understand that God's not having people vote on whether his word is true every day or not. They may not have yet embraced the fact that God is perfect in all that he does. There is lots of room for growth and understanding. And so let's pray that people, especially if they are standing in opposition, that they come to their senses. I can tell you from an experience, multiple experiences, that this does happen. That you can find a person who doesn't like you, doesn't want to be around you, and the Spirit of God works in their life, and all of a sudden the strongholds that were gripping them are broken. They come to their senses, and they embrace truth, and they find their blessing, their place of blessing in the body of Christ, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. Okay? And so one of the ministries that the Assemblies of God has is Teen Challenge. And Teen Challenge wants to see people off drugs, wants to see them delivered from any addictions whatsoever. It's not just for teens, it's for adults as well. But the thing is that the people who go to Teen Challenge have got to have come to their senses, have got to have repented, have got to have embraced the truth that they need a Savior and that Jesus is that Savior. It doesn't matter how much their pastor wants them to be delivered. It doesn't matter how much their spouse wants them delivered, or their mother wants them delivered, or their co-workers want them delivered. If they have not come to their senses yet to where Jesus is awakening them to the reality that they are ensnared by the devil and that he intends for them to die in that snare, then Teen Challenge will just say, you know what? Until when that person has come to their senses, when they realize they're in a trap, then you bring them back. And so there's got to be a desire, and it's not a country club mindset. It's not a spa-like treatment facility. The key to Teen Challenge's success rate, which is very high, is that people have been gifted the gift of repentance. They know the truth. They've become aware that they are ensnared and that the devil has taken them captive to do his will. God wants us to choose to do his will. We'll talk about that a little bit more on tomorrow's broadcast. Let me just say this. The speaker that we had, he pastors a large Assembly of God church in Chicago. His name's Wilfredo Choco de Jesus. And he said, when I was growing up, he said, I abandoned everything and said yes to Jesus. He abandoned his career pursuits because there was a need that arose. And he said, so my pastor would position me in situations and he would say, we're going to need you to do this. And he said, my response was, if it needs to be done, I've been forgiven, I've been empowered, I've been redeemed by the Savior, and I would just do it. And then that door would open up to another door. And he said, many times there were doors that opened up that my flesh didn't want to go through, but God had a plan. And so I just said yes. I just said yes to God's will and to God's call. And the more that he said yes to the doors that God opened him, the more impact and more influence that he tended to have. When I was first asked to come to Merit Assembly of God, I remember I was about to say the words, "Let me pray about it." I had the L formed in between my teeth. All I was waiting for was for the person to end their sentence, and then I was going to say, "Let me pray about it." Let me interpret that for you. I was going to say, "Let me pray about it," call them back in a couple of days and say, "You know, that doesn't sound like, I don't think that God wants me to do that." While I was waiting for that person to stop talking, God started talking and he said, "You don't need to pray about this. I have been telling you that this day was coming for a year." I didn't know that it was Merit Assembly of God. I didn't even know Merit Assembly of God existed. And yet God said, "You know what? I've got this will, and I want you to say yes to my will." See, the devil will put you in a position where you can't resist his will. The devil is a liar. God wants to put you in a position where you serve him because you want to. You serve him because you love him, not because of the oppression. You know, Oral Roberts used to say, the devil is bad and God is good. The devil is bad and God is good. Today, I pray that you would remember, whether you're the person who's been standing in opposition to God's move, or if you've been the person facing the opposition, that God's ultimate goal is building the kingdom of God and building the character of God within each one of us. It starts with us doing our part in humility with the right goals in mind, and God will grant the person that needs repentance the spirit of repentance, and all of a sudden they're going to begin to have spiritual understanding, not from bad information that they've been getting from the world, but they're going to get good information from heaven. Paul, when he was Saul, said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus. I'm the one you've been persecuting." It's like, you know what? When God starts talking to you like that, it really does bring about an eye-opening experience. I want you to know Jesus is just as real today as he was when Saul encountered him on the road to Damascus. And he's looking for you, and he's looking for me to say yes to his plan. I don't know what you might have in your life that the devil's tried to use as a hindrance or an obstacle, but today I want you to know this. If you will say yes to God's offer to forgive you of that, he will deliver you and set you free and give you options that are beyond your wildest dreams. Ladies, don't forget, put on your calendar Saturday at 11 a.m. at Merit Assembly of God. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Exalted, he is exalted on high, he is exalted, for great is the Lord, let all the nations exalted.